It's been 6 months since Representative Ed Case has been back in our nation's capital. He was home over the 4th of July holiday and reflected on his return to Congress. Case talked with us about where he hopes to make impactful changes when it comes to the environment.
The other committee that I was really, really happy to get onto was natural resources. And when you serve on appropriations, it's what's referred to as an exclusive committee, which means you're not supposed to serve on another committee unless there's a really good reason. I was fortunate to get a waiver to that so that I get to serve on appropriations and natural resources. The natural resources committee is responsible for basically anything having to do with our natural resources, as the name connotes. So we're talking about national parks, national forests, public lands, our oceans. Those are areas that are within that committee's kuleana.
I'm sure you probably get an earful from Suzanne.
Referring to my sister,
yes.
Who's the chair of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Well, in all honesty, it's fantastic to have her there while I'm on this committee, because my job is to work with the state of Hawaii to start with on trying to achieve the state's priorities and purposes in Washington, D.C. So in the area of natural resources, it's natural for me, so to speak, to work with DLNR. And Governor Ige has been very, very good about saying, hey, just work directly with my cabinet members. Now, it just so happens that particular member is my sister. We grew up exactly the same way on the Big Island. We have the same viewpoint on the environment. We have the same concerns for the environment. And so it is really, really nice to just call her up and say, hey, you know, I've got this issue. What do you think? Or similarly with her. And, you know, what do we do about it at the federal level? So that's been a real joy to do. The area that particularly concerns me on the environment is our oceans. National policy on our environment tends to focus more on our air and on our terrestrial environment. And so we spend a lot of time talking, as we should, on the natural resources about, you know, climate change, about the impacts of climate change on our national parks, national forests, and other parts of our environment. We tend to spend a lot of time talking about how do we protect the environment on land throughout our country, but we don't spend a whole bunch of time on our oceans. And, you know, in all honesty, a lot of folks in Congress, they just don't think about oceans.
Right, they're landlocked.
They're landlocked. They're from Kansas. You know, if they think about oceans, they think more about the Atlantic Ocean. They're not familiar with the Pacific Ocean. So it's really not a champion of the Pacific Ocean, especially the tropical, subtropical Pacific Ocean in Congress. And so I've taken that up. I mean, my goal in the environmental area is to deal with our world's oceans. And that comes from a couple of different areas. You know, one would be the basic natural resources of our oceans, so the fisheries of our oceans. Are they overfished? Are we managing it correctly? Are we coordinating with the other countries of the world so that we, you know, save our whales and, you know, save our endangered species in the oceans? Another area that is equally important is pollution. Non-point source pollution, especially from land. So seepage from land into the oceans just destroys oceans. And another area is just basic trash in the oceans.
Right.
So a bunch of stuff being tossed in there, and it's, you know, it's just overwhelming many, many of our oceans right now. And so I'm finding my fellow travelers, so to speak, in Congress to deal with how do we fashion a national oceans policy that will actually effectively manage and protect our oceans for the next generations.
You talked about transparency, the need for transparency, and you also mentioned the fisheries. And I know the Fisheries Council is something that you're concerned about whether we're getting proper accounting about certain funds they may be managing. Any headway on that?
I think there is a lot of headway. First of all, we're talking about the Western Pacific Fisheries Management Council, which is a product of federal law. And what they're supposed to be doing is essentially managing the fisheries in U.S. waters in the Western Pacific, which includes Hawaii. So there's a number of fisheries management councils for U.S. waters throughout our country. We're in the Western Pacific. And so the Western Pacific Management Council, WESPAC for short, has been doing this for many, many decades now. And I believe that they have gotten themselves into really a culture of kind of, you know, insider focus, and certainly a feeling that, you know, the way they do things is the way they should be done and nobody can challenge them. We have been, and this has been going on long before I was reelected to Congress, We have been trying to get them to provide the basic information about where they spend their money. Now, you would think that with the sum total of the many members of the delegation asking them to produce their information and Freedom of Information Act requests, that we would now know where they are actually contracting, the terms of the contracts, and where they are actually spending their money. And the answer is we don't right now. So certainly with other members, Delegate Sablan from the Northern Marianas, who is very much involved in this issue, and again, the congressional delegation from Hawaii and others, we have had congressional hearings. Certainly, we have made those requests, and there has been a lot more attention from the media to the operations of Westpac, which I think is a very good thing. We haven't gotten all the information yet, so unfortunately, this is not a simple process. But we are making headway to answer your question.
Okay, so just efforts to try and manage not just the natural resources, but also then what's happening with the funds.
Well, you give Westpac the responsibility for our federal government to manage the fishery in one of the largest swaths of the ocean in the entire world. You want to know what they're doing and how they're doing it. I certainly do. I'm responsible for it. I'm funding them to do that. I'm supposed to be overseeing them. And if I don't have the basic information to oversee them, I'm not doing my job. We've talked a lot about a couple of issues that have to do with national policy, which is one part of my job, is trying to provide national leadership on national issues, whether it be the Indo-Pacific region, or we talked about the military, talked a little bit about the environment. We've talked about some of the Hawaii-specific projects that I've got going, whether it be the Pearl Harbor or funding through the Appropriations Committee in several other areas, whether they be veterans or the Department of Commerce or law enforcement or social services, a whole range of areas that that I think we've had a very, very successful appropriations season for this year so far. The third area, I think, is sometimes overlooked, and that is my obligation to help people with their individual issues. So we call that casework. And these issues can be, veterans issues. They can be issues having to do with immigration, Social Security, disability benefits. We have had issues with, I just was in my office this morning, and we had issues, dealing with a moving company that went upside down and never paid took somebody's money and never did any services. So what do we do about that for them? Pretty much anything that people can think about, we will try to help them with those individual issues. So that's really important from my perspective, because I can sit here and, talk all day long, as I already have,
right,
about national and helping Hawaii. But at the end of the day, it is the 700,000 people that I directly represent in Congress and indirectly the entire state of Hawaii. I don't think the congressional delegation has never kind of stood on where the district boundary lines are. We all consider that so in that sense, we certainly want to let people know that we're here to help them.
And you think we're ever going to get the Filipino veterans the opportunity to move their family members up on that list? I mean, I
we've
know
had
a lot
some
of temporaries
over the 15 years or so that we've been pursuing this. We've had some temporary success, but it's not a permanently authorized situation. So, I don't think I feel one way or the other on that. I mean, I'm certainly pursuing it along with the rest of the delegation. We just have to keep pushing. Sometimes it's funny, in Congress, like in lots of other things in life, if you just persevere and keep on pushing on things, all of a sudden, someday, sometimes surprisingly, the stars just align.
Right, the
and all of a sudden,
jam.
And all of a sudden, there's an opportunity
free
to get it. But if you don't push to start with, you never are able to seize those opportunities. So we're always looking for a way to, get provisions like that into a bigger bill, or to persuade somebody in the administration that's a better way of,
right.
I
think
it's
a concern that the president might end that whole chain migration thing, and particularly for those veterans who have been waiting for, one, recognition, and two, what they were promised.
Well, that's a very good example of why, some of these issues need to be thought through a little bit further, like immigration. We've had family reunification as a key part of our immigration for centuries. And I think that's been positive. If we simply downplay that and say that that has no role in our immigration anymore, as some folks in the administration believe, what are the implications of that? I don't think they're positive. Yeah. So lots to do.
That was Representative Ed Case, who was in town over the 4th of July holiday, talking about his first 6 months back working in Washington, D.C.